When we want to know the latest news, we can turn to cable channels with up-to-the-minute crawls across the bottom of the screen, internet sites that constantly link to news stories, or even cell phones that deliver data by the second. That leaves old-fashioned newspapers in a bind. NPR's David Folkenflik reports that instead of focusing so much energy on breaking news, many of the nation's most prestigious dailies are emphasizing what they call the conceptual scoop.
When the president signs a bill, everybody covers it.
I'm now pleased and honored to sign into law the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act.
The USA Patriot Improvement and Reauthorization Act.
So I'm pleased to sign the Defense Appropriations Act for fiscal year.
But after President Bush's proclamations and away from the cameras and microphones, the White House quietly released written statements saying he had the right to ignore each of those laws whenever he felt like it. And the Boston Globe found the president had asserted he had that right not just occasionally, but 750 times. That's exactly the kind of article that makes Phil Bennett smack his forehead and say,
God, that was a smart story. And a smart story often does contain new facts, but just as often it takes facts that are lying in plain sight and synthesizes them or arranges them in a way, sometimes in a narrative, that really exposes some new meaning on an important subject. And I think that's a conceptual scoop.
Bennett cares about these things because he's the managing editor of The Washington Post. The Post, like many papers, has lost paid subscribers and sees conceptual scoops as a calling card to keep readers interested. He's not talking about the kind of scoop you get because Deep Throat is in a basement garage somewhere whispering,
just follow the money.
Instead, Phil Bennett says stories like the Globe's signing statement scoop revealed what was happening in plain view, but was essentially invisible because no one had bothered to connect the dots. The reason this matters to newspapers is that a headline delivered to your BlackBerry only provides a new fact, but a story like this conveys an idea.
And it's another form of competitive journalism because people who can arrive first at the defining nature of a conceptual scoop, of telling you, here's what these set of facts mean, oftentimes sort of control the agenda of the discussion of that subject.
While the Post may be awfully good at these stories, the Wall Street Journal is even better, and out of necessity, because editors there know people often read another paper first. At the Journal, the scoops come in all flavors. There was the one about how the arrival of Starbucks often helps, not hurts, neighborhood coffee shops. Or this one from last year, in which Journal reporters designed a giant software program to confirm their gut suspicion of raging fraud in the way corporate executives got stock options.
They literally found the odds were so extraordinary, hundreds of billions to one, that it strongly suggested there was cheating.
Mike Miller has been the editor overseeing the Journal's front page for the past 7 years. He points out you'd be far more likely to win the Powerball than time the market like that. Other articles had pointed out questionable timing of stock option grants, but no one proved how widespread it was until the Journal.
So when they were done, nearly 140 companies were under federal investigation. 70 top officials had lost their job. 5 executives were charged with federal crimes, and those numbers are continuing to roll. This was all because of their ingenuity at statistical modeling and also sensing a trend out there that they were able to document in a really extraordinary way.
That was a Pulitzer winner. But they don't all have to be that serious. When one reporter overheard a guy being ribbed on his dinner plans, a conceptual scoop and a new term was born.
The mandate.
Jennifer Eightley of the New York Times explains.
How two straight men socialize one-on-one when it's not dependent on alcohol and when it's not dependent on sports. How do they do it?
As Lee interviewed men about the idea, she found they were leery of seeming too intimate with a buddy. Going to a bar was fine under certain conditions.
You know, if they're sitting next to each other and there's a TV involved, then it's not a mandate. If you went for a jog in the park, not a mandate. But if you went for a walk in the park, that would be a mandate. And I just found that whole notion really interesting.
Lee's covering cops for the Times right now, but she's a conceptual scoop artist, and she has a different name for these stories.
It literally is kind of stories that people talk about. You know, hey, did you see that story on cell phones and flirting? That was really awesome.
They might not be the most rewarded with prizes, but they're usually the most emailed. Big papers like The Times, The Post, and The Journal are unlikely to stop digging up dirt or to stop trying to break news. But the more you scan their front pages, the more likely you are to find stories that rely as much on deep thought as deep throat. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.